The World Show with Nikki B.
Yes, I am Nikki B, and right now I'm joined by tonight's special guests, two of members, in fact, two very core members of the group Blackjacks. And it's a pleasure to have you with me, Molefi, on Zoom. Hello, Molefi.
Hello, Manito.
Yes, you're coming through loud and clear. And of course, with me in the studio is Mpumi Mpumalelo. Welcome, Mpumi. Good to see you in Joburg.
Hello, yes, good to see you again. Last time we saw each other was Paris.
Paris, exactly. Yeah. You visited me in Paris.
Yeah, true.
It was great. And actually, you were already working on this album that we're here to celebrate today.
Yes, we were already trying to get it out into the world. I think we didn't even have a record deal at that time. So yeah, long journey, lots to talk about. And thank you to everybody who listens to your show and has been following the story.
Yes, and I see that there's a lot of people who are really excited that you guys are with us tonight. And excited for the new album.
Yay, yes. Came out on Friday.
Yes, good, awesome. Good. We're going to talk more about how people can access it a little bit later. But you know, it's been such a long time. So you released your first full album in 2009, I think it was. Yeah, you've really, this is a long, I say long awaited.
Yeah, giving away our age. Yeah. We were some young, what some of our friends would say, some young Thundercats at the time.
Yes.
We were early 20s running around all over Johannesburg, quite happy to just play shows, take the money, pay the rent, play a show, take the money, buy food, play a show. We weren't even thinking about radio or music videos or recording albums. And then one day, it all happened. We made an album, 2009.
No, that's amazing. And also, if I think back to then, as you say, yes, you were living day to day, the young musician mindset, if I can call it that. But at the same time, that album and that time and that style of music, you know, we talk about Afropunk today. It's now become a household word, if you like. You guys were doing Afropunk before there was a name, Afropunk.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, we come from a long line, actually, of like musicians who've been pushing the boundaries for a long time. You go back to Beatus Harare, Malombo, Batsumi, you know, these are all like our heroes. And of course, when we arrived in the US, you know, we got pulled into this thing, this wave, if you will, Afropunk, you know. And, you know, the guys who were, because Afropunk was first a film.
Yes.
Then they did a film launch where they did the concert with all the bands in the film performing. And that then became the big festival that we know and everything that we know about Afropunk.
Yes.
That film, we met the filmmakers at SXSW in 2008.
Yes.
While they were making that film.
Wow.
And they asked us to be in the film, and I'm not sure how it went down, but in the end we didn't jump into the film. But yeah, it's been a long journey in this this space, you know.
Yes.
But as I say, I think for us, we have a deep South African and African history that we're mining with the work that we do, that I think is probably more relevant to our work than, say, Afropunk or even rock or prog rock and all of these things, you know, which are part of what we do, but I don't think that our primary concern.
Yes, well, I think you're more, what can I say, you're diverse. So you kind of draw in anything that inspires you. It doesn't have to fit any particular category.
This is true. I mean, it's never been about genre. I think black people are also allowed to be free, you know. So you don't have to stay in specific corners and zonings and areas, you know.
Yes.
So we're past that. So yeah, it's just about being free.
Yes. Now, I want to ask Molefi something, but first, I want to stick with Pumi for a specific reason, because I want to go right the way back to the beginning. And I think, Molefi, you came a little bit later. You're going to tell us about that. But Pumi, tell us how Blackjacks came together.
Oh, yeah. So basically how it happened was my friend, I would say at the time, was my best friend, Linda, used to be the singer, guitarist in this band. And another friend of ours, Sifiso Kanyile, filmmaker, we basically decided to start a band because we were just like any other kids in the township or whatever, you know, playing soccer, sport, whatever, basketball. And then one day, I think we were listening to music or somebody, or it was this Fiso who sang a song by, like, I think it was like a No Doubt song. It was like a Don't Speak at the time or something like this. And I remember turning and going, oh, you know that too. And then that opened the floodgates. Then we were talking about everything from Hendrix to Fela to, like, you know, we were just going in and we started looking for music, different music. And from that spark, you know, we found a guitar in Linda's house, in his parents' house, which was a gift to his sister, who was a singer in the church choir. And we started toying around with it and it started to sound good to us what we were doing.
Yes.
And slowly the ideas of forming a band began. So we started just the three of us like this. And then Frank Mahongwa from Kwane Experience joined us on drums. And then when Frank couldn't play with us because they won best young jazz or band or something at Standard Bank.
Yes.
So they were going to do an album with Sheer Sound. So he said, guys, I hate to leave, but let me at least try to fill the space. So he introduced us basically to Molefe and Tsepang, and that's how the story goes.
Yes, and obviously Molefe, I speak to Pumi about the roots of it, but you are such a core member and have been since you joined. When did you join Black Jacks? How did that come about?
Yeah, I remember this one particular day, some 10, 6, 15, 16 years ago, when I was still a student. I had done with my studies at Funda Center. So I was just going there to go and practice because Funda Center was like my home, as well as for many other artists, fine artists,
performers,
musician performers, and you know. So this one particular day, I was just going there. I was just sitting under the tree, just doing my practice routine as every day. So I received this one call from Frank. He says, man, we need a bass player. Do you want to come through? I'm saying, and then I'm like, when? He's like, now. But I don't know. You can bring another bass player just in case you don't dig the style and what you hear. Maybe that guy. So I brought in Ntlantla Khadebe, the
upright bass
player.
Yes.
Yeah, the upright bass player. So the two of us went there. So I kind of like test. I liked what I heard, and you know, I had ideas before while I was still a student. In my mind, I was like, I want one day to form a rock band, you know, and play some weird music, stuff that nobody plays. And that was just in my head. When Frank made that call, and I got to Bassline.
Yes.
As I was approaching the, you know, there's many rehearsal rooms at Bassline. So the first room, it was a gospel, and then the Maskande, and then I'm approaching, passing door from door to door, I'm like, this can't be it. And I heard the weird sound coming from the room, Leon.
I remember Leon, yes.
Yeah.
With the pink hair.
Yes.
And I was, this must be the door must open. So I opened the door. I went in. I found these guys. I found Frank and Mpumi and Linda. And I was like, wow. So I took out the bass even before the introduction, I guess.
Yes.
Because they were already playing something. So I joined in. I joined in, you know, played by ear. And that was it. And the very first day that we appeared on a magazine together, on a stage magazine.
Yes.
By Steph. And who's this other brother of ours, Van Rensburg? So yeah, that was it. That was the beginning. We never turned back from there. And then we had a show the very same day, if not the next day.
We had a show the next day in Grahamstown,
the next day, yeah.
In the old jail.
You went straight to Grahamstown.
Straight to jail in Grahamstown.
Yeah, we had another show before Grahamstown, Mbumi.
The same day, and then we had Grahamstown the next day.
Same day.
I had to. It was fast those
10
days.
Songs real quick, and then so that we can be able to go and play. And I wasn't sure of how it's gonna turn out, like, because I liked it, but as soon as after the show, some guys came to us and say, guys, this song, this band is amazing. This band is amazing. This band must stay the same. I was like, you guys must stay like this. I was like, oh man, that confirms it. That means then that's it. You know?
You're meant to be there, yes.
I was meant to be there. I guess I was like, okay, I guess then my prayers were answered sooner, you know? Uh-huh. And then the next day we went to, we were on our way to Grahamstown with a new drama now.
For the arts festival, yes.
For the arts festival, with a new drama on board, Tepang,
yes.
You know, who's also was in the similar situation like me.
Yes.
He came to play the next day on the road, you know? So it was a very inspiring and a very enjoyable moment of my life at that time. Like, yeah, that's how it all started.
It's moments like that make you think. It's fortuitous. It's almost like you look back and you think, I was placed there. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. Yeah, yes.
I was meant to be there. This thing was meant for me and I was meant for it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
They say, be careful what you praise for. What you pray for. It might just come through, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about the first album because I think contextually it's really important in terms of...
Before you go on, Nikki, is it possible for me to hear Mpumi a little bit louder on my side?
I will see which mic he's on. There we go. I'm not sure. I think that's better, Mpumi.
We're doing it. We're performing right now.
Check.
One check.
Okay,
check
good.
Two.
Good. Now we're having a conversation.
So, now we talk.
Yes. So I do want to talk about the first album because I think contextually it's so important to look at the journey, you know. But before we go there, let's listen to some music. And I want to play the first track off your album, Ubuntu Before Humans is the album. And this one is Yellow. Oh. Anything to say about it?
Oh, the beginning of the universe, the beginning of the album, pre-sounds, pre-Big Bang, you know, just sounds around the fire, no words. Think about Uhadi, you know. String theory. That's the vibe.
And also prepares for you for the journey, you know.
Absolutely. And it is a journey. In fact, I can't choose. I mean, again, you know, I love this about the guests I have in my studio. There's always too many nice songs. So you have to help me choose
too kind.
as well. Coming up, probably you are first hearing it now on The World Show. This one is Yellow Ore. Of course, we are with Blackjacks. And the album has just been released. It's called Ubuntu Before Humans. Kaya 959. Absolutely beautiful. What an intro. I mean, that like completely sets the stage for what is to come. I mean, that's a prayer. That is a connection and a prayer. Yes.
Yeah, I think, as a guitarist, as musicians sometimes in a band, you get caught up in like wanting to overthink, play, produce things. And sometimes we forget about where this stuff began, you know, the reason why we sing, you know, the purest reason why we sing. People were not stopping each other. When songs come up around the fire in early times, you know, people surely were not stopping each other to say, no, sing it like this, let's do a bridge now.
Yes, you know? Yes.
So we thought, you know, let's bring in that element of, you know, natural improvisational jamming vibes to the top of the album. Yeah.
And it really, you know, from where you've come and this journey you've taken as Black Jacks, this is like, even just with that opening song, it's really like coming back to self, coming back to center, coming back to spirit, in a sense. Mm. And what a beautiful way to start such a long-awaited album. Yes, please.
Also, you know, I think we are trying to stick to what we know best. And also that connection, when we start this album, that song is more like also inviting the source of your music, where the music, your music come from.
Yes.
You know, it's like paying homage and tribute to that, to the source of where all the sounds that you hear in this album come from. So it's like, thank you, come with us and lead us, lead the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then invite everyone. You know.
Yes, it's almost it's that almost sacred beginning that sets the stage and the connection to source, if you like.
Yeah, because we live in a very noisy world right now, as we all know. We're always on our phones, as computers, and things like this. So I think after all this time and coming back into this age, a world which is even different from when we first came out, you know, just 10 or so more years ago, it's like we needed to find that peace, you know. And I think to allow the listener to also quiet down the noise, because we're being told all the time, you know, what to listen to, what to respond to on our phones. You know, we're bombarded basically with lights and information. So it's the song is also kind of like clearing the space and creating some kind of peace for the listener.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Now, you know, you spoke about something, Pumi, you spoke about as a guitarist, and, you know, you want to, sometimes one has to realize when not to play. And I think that goes for a musician. And I think I've always noticed that it comes also with experience and, you know, often with young musicians, they want to overplay and fill in every gap, and it's great. Mm-hmm. But the kind of the more experienced you have, and I see it with more, you know, the greats as well. If you go to Abdullah or Bryce Hughes' last concert, he would hardly play. It would be that moment that he would play, you know. Yes, please continue, Molefi.
Oh, yeah. You're saying all the right things, Nikki, because even the greats, you're mentioning the right names as well. You see, making music is not, you know, making a song is not really about you as a player. It's about that song that needs to come out, the song that needs to be brought to life. So, and that song is a vision, and that song is alive, and that song has got moments in it. You see, it's got landscapes, you know. Sometimes silence, in the silence plays a very important, like Mbumi was saying, the peace, the silence. So, you know, silence plays a very important role in the music, as far as I believe, because that's actually the belly of the thing. That's where the music comes from.
Yes.
So it has to come across.
Yes.
Even in the music.
Absolutely.
You know?
Silence. Yeah, silence makes the notes sound stronger, if you like.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. You can think of it as blackness as well. Darkness, space, you know. Without it, we don't see stars. We don't see, you know, light. So we do need that counterpoint, you know. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But we learn a lot from the greats also, like Miles Davis. They will display that kind of attitude, that concept of playing with silence in the music, you know.
They'll
display that kind of thing, you know. They'll play one note.
Yes.
And that note hits the spot all the time.
Yes.
It comes across. It comes, you know. And he said it's not about, it's the attitude that the player puts in playing that one song, that one note.
Absolutely. And as I say, that also definitely, there's something very beautiful about the young energy, mm-hmm. you know, and I value that for what it is. Mm-hmm. But definitely, you're looking at the experience you've gained over time and how this has evolved, how your musicianship and your creative expression mm-hmm. has evolved. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when we spoke during the week, Pumi, you said something about this album being a sequel. Mm-hmm. So tell us about
a prequel.
yes. So tell us about the first album, because the first album for me was much more edgy, in your face mm-hmm. kind of, as I say, youth energy. Yeah. Here we are. We've come, you know. And then I know you've done some amazing work in between. It's not like Black Jacks didn't work in this decade, mm-hmm. you know. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we basically moved on to like playing live shows, and we always stuck together, like jamming and getting together for the odd show. It was the music business or industry that we kind of took a step back from, you know, because we felt like it wanted something from us that maybe we weren't ready or willing to give, you know. But in terms of playing music, it was really an exciting time to be there, you know, young and walking on the streets of New York and meeting all your heroes, you know. And that was like, it was beautiful. And I think the energy, as you say, it's about balance, right? So the energy that comes with that album is something that says, look, we're here and we're ready to go, you know, toe to toe.
Yes.
Basically, with anyone. I mean, our first, like our EP, the Mystery EP, which came after, we did an Untitled EP, which was basically just us here in South Africa. Then our next EP, our first EP was Secretly Canadian. We recorded it at Electric Lady Studios, you know, which is Jimi Hendrix's studio, in the main room, you know, his room, with the two pianos and the mural that he made on the wall still there, you know.
Yes.
And now you see it, we see it in all the in all these movies, and we're like, yeah, that's that room we were in.
Yes.
And you know, of course you walk,
we were there.
Yeah. And you walk in there and you're 20 something, you're young, you're like, I'm gonna play we're gonna destroy this thing, you know.
Yes.
So you enter with that kind of a force, you know. And yes. And I think now that we've got it out of our system, if you will,
yes.
It's cool now, because there's a balance, you know. It's almost like our talent is in our hand and we lead it, as opposed to being led by our talent, you know.
Yes.
So we've managed to kind of like get on top of it and like ride and control the beast, if you will. And
yes.
And it's a really beautiful place to be.
Absolutely. Yes.
Just to add on what Boom is saying, also to me, what it felt like we were starting a conversation, you know, the kind of conversation that we would like to have, you know, that we are inviting everybody. Like it sounded like we're saying, let's begin to talk.
Yes.
Let's begin to talk about things, you know.
Yes.
That's how it really sounded to me. And the educational aspect of it to us, because it was really an eye-opener.
Yes.
Kind of like supported all that, you know. It prepared us to be able to back it up, to back all that up.
Yes.
You know. That's how.
Yeah, and I think as a to go on from what Malefa is saying, I think as a debut album, we couldn't be too nice, you know.
Yes.
We kind of had to like live and die by it, you know, because
yes.
We had carried it for so many years in Johannesburg. There was a lot of pent up feelings and vibes about like trying to do this in South Africa, where, you know, the market for it was limited. We probably still have a very strong fan base, but the numbers, you know,
yes.
it's like the guys from The Prodigy said, you know, always outnumbered but never outgunned, you know.
Yes.
And so we had this energy going into the studio.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But again, if you look at it, firstly, as we say, you were younger. It was breaking boundaries in many ways. But also what has happened that time, 2009, and what was happening in our country, in our world, is such a different energy to what we're dealing with, what's happening in our country, in our world now.
Absolutely.
And not only that, but also also, if you look at it in terms of the music industry, has totally shifted since 2009. Mm. People consume and access music in a totally different way to those days when you were walking around with that demo saying, why won't anybody sign us? Yeah. Or they were saying, well, we don't mind signing you as long as you put a bridge there.
Yeah, absolutely. And now with the advent of, like, you know, you had a time of SoundCloud stars, you know, and then you had your YouTube stars, then you have your Instagram stars, you know, people turning all of these things into viable careers in other fields, including music. And then you have streaming, you know,
yes.
You have Spotify and Deezer and all these things, Apple Music, which changes so much, you know. I mean, we ourselves, Blackjacks, you know, when we were going on tour, we didn't get a chance to put a photo of Tsabang, our drummer, chilling with Lou Reed on Instagram, you know.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
What might that have done for our career then?
Yes.
You know?
So
these are the things, as we get older, you're looking at all this stuff, you're like, oh, okay, so this is the game now. But also, that's not really our personality. I think for us, in terms of the mind of the band, Blackjacks, which is different from our individual minds, you know, because
yes.
The band, the actual Blackjacks itself as a unit, has its own soul and spirit and
absolutely.
Things that it wants. So I think for it, it's more like just stay on the path, make the music, trust the people, trust that they can understand. Do not patronize, do not dumb it down, do not make it softer, weaker,
don't compromise,
sweeter, because
yes.
Then that thing is undermining the intelligence of your public, you know.
Yes.
And for us, I think we trust that people are intelligent enough and emotionally intelligent enough and understand the history of music and the future of music well enough to get the Blackjacks.
Absolutely. I think it's time for another song. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Speaking to Blackjacks, of course, Mpumelelo and Molefi, or Mpumi if you like, the album Ubuntu Before Humans. And I'm going to play the second track because literally it is a whole story in order. We might miss a few, but this one is Running. I see Baleki Shiros. Tell us about this track.
Yeah, Running, Asibalegi, Shiro's theme. We say Asibalegi because we are not running away, and we also say Asibalegi because Asibalegi, you know, ngesiXhosa, we cannot be counted, and Asibalegi, it cannot be written, you know, we cannot be written, you know, or outwritten. So Running is about this, and it's about many sort of political themes, and mostly it's about an awakening of the feminine side of the brain, you know, the hero, the Shiro, who will come to save us all.
Right. Thank you so much. Blackjacks, we're celebrating the new album. Kaya 959. Running away. Yes, Asibaleki. Shiro's theme. And as Pumi said, it's like, gives you that African superhero vibe. Beautiful Blackjacks, the album Ubuntu Before Humans. And before we move on, I'm speaking to Mpumi and Molefi. I got a message here, a beautiful message from Klantla on Facebook saying, Ubuntu Before Humans, the Blackjacks, a testimony of amazing hard work. Counterculture, pioneers of our generation. Adventures of Blackjacks, pure Zam rock. Blackjacks, a movement that creates and explores new Azania rock and roll archetypes. Historical, mysterious. The Blackjacks bringing hard Azania Afro rock through inner space opera, traveling into untapped near future realities. A soundtrack for different hybrid perspectives. How beautiful.
Oh,
I'll have to send it to you because he actually posted it as a message, and I'm going to send that to you. I mean, how's
thank
that
you.
For feedback? Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
We can stop the album campaign right now. You know? I'm ready to retire now.
You've done your work.
That's it.
Thank you. How beautiful
is that? Thank you very much, Tunklanta, man, for such a beautiful message, man.
sure. I think I've got to share it with you so you can read it again tomorrow. And also, I had a lovely tweet here from Nontobeko, who says, I love listening to artists when they speak about their craft and processes of creating. This interview is feeding me Sibonge. And Palisa says, I remember Blackjacks performing at Armchair Theatre in Cape Town. They've been serving nothing less than talent, energy, and uniqueness. Bless them.
Wow.
You see how much love.
Wow.
Yes. You're getting so much love.
Yes.
It's important because, you know, through the years, we always felt, you know, tethered to this, you know. We never felt lost. We were never in the wilderness in any type of way because people always reach out, you know. You get messages years down the line. Somebody says, oh, I saw you guys in...
at the Armchair.
At the Armchair, in Bogota, or at Mfulo Park, you know. And it means so much to each person that messages us, and the messages are beautiful. And I know that for myself, because I myself am one, and I know that the music that I love is important to me, and how important it is to me. That's how I know that what we do only needs to find one person. There's only one. Each specific person that finds this is the person that it's supposed to find. And I think that's kind of like always been the approach, you know. And we've never tried to redesign or shape what we do to try and appeal to a so-called invisible broader public.
Yes,
just being true to self and following your inner voice and trusting that people can relate to the honesty. Yeah.
Yes, and as you say, if you touch one person, then you know your job is done.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
When you see more and more, that's absolutely wonderful. So now, you know, one of the things I'm interested about is in terms of, okay, let's actually start here. So this album took a period of time. You started working on it a few years ago. I mean, Pumi, you and I were together in Paris when you released a couple of singles. And that was, what, almost 2 years ago, 18 months or so ago, maybe 2 years.
Yeah, it was a while. It was 2019.
Yes.
Surely, yeah. It's been quite a ride. And you know, there's the uncertainty. Once you step into the industry, you're at the behest of things that sometimes you cannot control. But I think once we had finally been through the part of making the music, I think we were so happy with the album that we were like, okay, we can take it. If people say no, we won't sign you, or no, we won't do this or do that, we won't mind too much because we will know that it's them, not us.
Yes, and that you're ready to release. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So ultimately, did you release this independently? Have you released this independently?
Yeah, we started basically, we have a friend in Cape Town at Permanent Record called Rulo van der Merwe, and he just hit us up and he was like, whatever you guys commit to record and call an album, in fact any music, just send it to me and I'll put it on vinyl.
Amazing.
I can do that. So we put down 300 vinyl, and we contacted SXSW, the festival in Texas, Austin, Texas.
Yes.
USA. And we were like, okay, we want to come back because our international career basically started there in 2008. You know, we played on that stage, and then, you know, our email inbox blew up basically.
Yes.
So we're like, let's go back there. It will be a full circle return. Let's press these 300 vinyl and let's go there and we'll see what happens.
Yes.
And of course, as we all know now, the history, the story is that 2020 March comes, and so does COVID.
Yes.
And all the lockdowns and everything that come with that. So it was like, wow, what should we do now? Like, we recorded this album in 2018 in the Soweto Theater ourselves, in the orchestra pit.
Yes.
We finished it. The hard drives were stolen
in
2018. No album. It took us a year to come back into the studio in 2019 to try again. And this time we did it in 3 days. We had the album. And as I say, we pressed the vinyl, we plan to go to SXSW, and then COVID. At this point, we're like, ah, no, it's not for us. Maybe we do need to quit after all, you know? But then,
And the rest of the music community.
But then things started to change and turn around in many ways in all parts of our lives, you know, collectively, really, as a group. It was like this moment, this period of being locked down, you know, it was terrible to watch how it was affecting people elsewhere around the world, and you know, losing people and this virus, but at the same time being locked down, it was like a real moment to like center ourselves, and the people who needed to find us found us, and now we have a record deal.
Yeah. Yes, so everything worked out as it should, actually.
Indeed.
And Molefi, for you, how has been this period of, you know, like even when I said to you, Pumi, it was 18 months ago, because it's almost like last year never happened, you know?
Like Pumi said, this COVID affected us, like, as a band and also as individuals, because as band members, the Blackjacks, We have a responsibility to uphold it and to keep the band together and keep and uphold what the band stands for, the idea, and also to develop ourselves as individuals of the band, individual members of the band, and also to develop little things that, because you're not only a musician in a band, you also have other things on the side that you are trying to develop. Like, for example, Mpumi is in films. He's a filmmaker. I started a program we call it Inspired for the kids in the rural area. Because, you know, I live in the Northwest, right?
Yes, yes.
So in an area that is considered rural. So I started like a program here to teach kids music, but not only to teach them music, also because also to expose them to the vast landscape of the arts, like, because not all the kids wants to be musicians.
Yes.
So you try and expose them to this and that. You invite friends, professional musicians to come in and inspire the kids and play for them. And so when it started, the COVID, all those kind of things slowed down. And yes, also the other intentions that one had, like of establishing a residency in the space, those kind of things like slowed down.
Yes.
And I don't even talk about the finances of it, because you have to, the idea was to actually work hard this year in order to accumulate enough finance, buy the necessary things that you need in the residency space, so that when you invite your friends, they are able to, you know, to work as creatives.
Yes.
That never happened. So I have to find another way for that to happen, which is what I'm busy on. But it was slowed down, to answer your question,
yes,
by the corona situation. But also it's not only on a negative note, also it came as a positive note. Like as Mpumi says, it was time for us to be grounded, and we took it as like that time for us to actually really dig, you know yourself better, you know.
Yes.
Be intimate with yourself, your core self, and try to find, you know, to try to develop your gifts, you know, further. Spend time with yourself and with your music and with your musical instrument, and, you know, then with your loved ones, you know, because we've grown up, we've started families and all that, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So it, amongst all of that, those experiences as well, it was just everything is just a lesson, and it goes back to you, to our music, you know.
Yes.
Because everything goes back to the one, baby. Everything goes back to the one.
And again, you know, when I listen to this album, it's actually come out at the perfect time. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I'm feeling about it. Let's hear another track now. Please, you're going to have to pronounce this one for me. Ikwira. Itquicha. It's yeah. just the spelling. I didn't recognize it. Yes. Yes. Tell us about this one. Machine learning featuring none other than.
Bafo.
Bafo, my darling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The great. Itquicha, machine learning volume one. The refrain in the song is Lachi Kwecha, you know, which Nesxhosa could be read as could mean the witch doctor said it, or it could mean the witch doctor is burning. But also we play with the word Itqicha, 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 because Itqicha is doctor and Itqicha is witch doctor. So it's like a back and forth, and it's basically just got to do with like what we're being taught, what we're learning in education. What is education? Like, what do we consider to be intelligence, you know, as we move forward? You know, we are told that our doctors are witch doctors, you know, and that all people who practice natural healing practices are witch doctors. None of them are healers.
Yes.
And this is what we learn. We're told everything we did as Africans before colonialism was just witchcraft and superstition. And so, yeah, we're connecting it to technology as well, you know. So, yeah, Itquicha, Machine Learning Volume 1. That's basically the idea, you know.
I love the title of it. Kaya 959. Wow. And you know, who better than to get into that trance-like rhythm with then Madala Kunene? I mean, totally appropriate. Absolutely beautiful. Black Jacks, the album is incredible. Ubuntu, Before Humans. Mm-hmm. You know, we were speaking about it as well, also earlier, about the concept of Before Humans. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the theme and the title of this album.
Yeah, I mean, Ubuntu, Before Humans, is basically, you know, we say Before Humans because, again, it's got to do, connected with the song we just heard, it's got to do with this idea of, like, what is it before you are told what it is, you know? Because sometimes, you know, naming a thing alters the thing.
Yes.
And I think we just wanted to return to a place where actually we were just being the Black Jacks, and we're not the Black Jacks who were signed to this American label who were this and that and that. We're just like some guys playing music, you know. What is the thing before it was named, you know?
Yes.
What is the genre that we play? What if we don't have to name it, you know? Does it then make you free? Because sometimes when people tell you what you're doing, like, oh, you are an amapiano artist, then every time you walk into the studio, you're there to make amapiano, as opposed to being there to make music or change the nature of amapiano, you know? You yourself become imprisoned by the name, you know?
Yes.
So I think Before Humans, it's like, what were we before we were humans, you know, as Ubuntu, you know?
Yes.
Maybe we had
the word humans, yeah, if you like, yeah.
So yeah, I mean that's one way to look at it. But we're also like open, we've always been about leaving things open to interpretation. So Molefe might have his own view about what does Ubuntu Before Humans mean. I don't know.
Oh yeah. It's exactly as you say it. But you know, perceptions, you know, I think it also speaks to perceptions, how people perceive things, you know. Like you can throw your imagination back as to when we were just people, when we were just humans,
yes.
You know, when we were not divided by a lot of things that divides us as human beings right now,
yes.
that causes us to hate each other these days over little things, over material, over power, over this and that, over jealousy, over greed.
Yes.
You know, these kind of topics, you know, these little things, you know, these the topics of our music speaks, you know, it raises those kind of subjects.
Yes.
To me, you know.
Yes.
Which will, you know, we have to really think, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Things that we pull and push for, things that we tear each other's skin, you know, for these days, is it really worth it?
Yes.
Is there any other alternative, you know? Can we do something different, you know?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's to me, that's the message these songs are driving, you know?
Absolutely.
Each song has got its own topic. Its topic, a certain title, a subject that it addresses, you know?
And in fact, on that note, I'm interested to know, because you spoke about, you know, having lost the masters, mm-hmm. originally, having to come back in, actually doing this in 3 days. Mm. But in terms of the processes of Black Jacks, do different people come up with different tracks or different starting points, or does it come more out of improvisational work?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is jamming. I think that's the biggest part. You know, a lot of these songs were built over years, you know, even before we recorded After Robots, some of these ideas, you know, existed. They grow in rehearsal rooms, they grow in sound checks, because you need something to check the sound. And then over the years, they have a life of their own, and they keep knocking until they're fully formed and ready to go, you know. And we throw ideas in one by one over time, over lengthy periods of time. I think on this album, only one song kind of happened within those 3 days lyrically,
yes.
You know, kind of inspired and kind of it kind of forced itself to happen like in that time. But the rest, you know, it's built over time, and we are all always sculpting and taking things away and putting them back in and playing it again. So yeah, it's a very organic process between all members of the band, including Mr. Debogo Seide, the trumpeter for the South African Police Band.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Also, to add on what Mpumi is saying, it's a very good question, actually. You know, I think the Black Jacks, not that I think, it's something that I know from the youngsters, that the Black Jacks has inspired. A lot of youngsters just came through to say, you guys, thank you guys for opening us up, or leading the way, or to opening stuff for us and making us see that actually we can start believing in ourselves. We can start, you know, whatever we, our dreams, we can make them to become reality.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And we don't, that, because a lot of times we are scared to even start, you know. So we stop ourselves before we even begin because we are afraid.
Yes.
So, but why am I saying so? I'm saying this, the process, I like the process of music making in the band. Like as Mpumi is saying, it's been a gradual, like a long-term thing. But how we make it happen in the band is like, there is no, the music, when it comes, each and every one of us has a part to play in a song. So that's how what a band is.
Yes.
To us, a band, that's what it is. If I conceive an idea, that idea is not, we all have to complete it.
Yes, yes.
For it to become a song.
You bring forth, you know, the idea, and it might or might not take.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It might or might not take.
Yes.
And then it opens up a discussion amongst us.
Yes.
Like, we don't like that part. But this is all the process of building. It's building. Building,
yes.
The content of the band, building the material, building the songs, building the album, building, making me, the crafting this art. You know,
yes.
That's what it is. Because you are not alone. There's four of you.
Yes.
In the room. So it's very interesting. And to be able to find to find the synergy between the four minds to make one thing that we all believe in possible, like to make it come true. You understand?
Yes.
And it's not an easy thing.
Yes.
Not an easy thing.
Yes.
And for us to have put up with it and for this long, for so many years, wow, man.
Yes.
It's been a journey.
Yeah, and part of that lesson is that even the things you discard are not a waste. You know, there is something about that you can look at and say, okay, we didn't do that, or we missed that, or this didn't work. And it shows you something about what you have to do next, you know.
Yes.
And I think you can apply this definitely to life as well, you know, because we get down on ourselves as people as well. And in the pace that we live in the world today also, you know, we blame things on ourselves, and we forget that actually there's lessons in everything, number one. Number two, there are systems higher than you, not just forces. I'm not talking esoteric stuff, just like basically you live in capitalism, so which is something that is formed by people,
need a bank account,
and you know, and we accept this as a natural law, as oxygen, but actually it doesn't have to be, you know. But it's the way things are, and then we get down on ourselves when these things don't work, you know. And I usually say to, I was saying to somebody actually the other night as well, but I often say that, you know, we are not, none of us on this earth are born by consent. And then when you arrive here, you're told to pull up your socks and get your act together. It's like, what are you talking about? I didn't even ask to be here. So when you talk about Ubuntu, that's Ubuntu. We have to take care of each other. We have to be kinder to each other, softer to each other. But what we do is like, oh, I've got my big car, my kids are in a good school. What's wrong with you standing on the corner? What's your problem? You know? So I think that's an issue that we need to look at, because we talk the big talk about Ubuntu in South Africa. But when you look around, a lot of the time in terms of how things are, we don't really take care of each other. And I think the writing process with us as a band has been a lesson in this. Like, how do we find ways to let each other be, help each other be better within, you know?
Yes.
And everybody is an artist, you know?
And I loved what you said earlier on about Blackjacks, or a band, being its own entity. It's its own being. You know, each of you are individuals, and then that you bring creates this new child.
Yeah, there are ideas I have for things I want to do, play on the guitar, music I want to make that I would never present in the Blackjacks rehearsal room. You know, and I don't know how I know that. I just do, you know. So that's how you know that it's its own being.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
So one thing that I hope that the youngsters that are inspired by the Blackjacks are taking home with also, not only the music that we have produced, but also how to be a band, you know?
Yes, yes. And the importance of being a band.
Brothers, sisters, ukubamba, ubumba,
ukubamba. It takes a lot. There's a lot of things that are needed.
Yes.
For a band to stay alive.
Absolutely. But there's also things that come from a band that are very special because of that continued working together, that knowing each other's language. And that's why, like you, what you, I think you're saying, Molefi, is I do encourage bands. It's great to be the front person or a session musician, and no disrespect, we have some of the finest.
Yeah, in this country.
In this country. Sure, yeah. But there's something about a band that it's a family, actually, and there has to be 100% commitment all round.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
There's to be a lot of love, man.
A lot of love, absolutely. Yeah. You are a family, you know, and you learn to understand each other the longer you work, to understand each other better the longer you work together.
True.
And understand each other's language. We're going to run out of time, and I've got to play at least two more. And this one, I think we've got to go back to. It's Harare.
Yeah. We can also have fun. Yes. We are, of course, sunny South Africans as well, so we're also there for the vibe. This one features Morena Raba from Lesotho, a famous singer. I won't say up and coming because he's killing it. And he sounds great on this. And it's a vibe.
Thank you so much. Mpumi and Molefi from Blackjacks with us in the studio celebrating the album Ubuntu Before Humans. And we are going to find out how you can get your own copy on whatever format. Yes, Harari, featuring Morena Lerava. Blackjacks, of course, with us in the studio. The album Ubuntu Before Humans. Now, how can people get a copy? You spoke about these vinyls. Are you still got them? You still waiting to go back to, to Houston?
Yeah. There's. You can contact Permanent Records if you're in South Africa, I guess. You can find them online. But internationally, it's Glitterbeat, our record label, Glitterbeat Records worldwide. Amazing record label. People should check it out. A lot of amazing artists on there, you know, from like, Lucid Vox to Tutad, you know, it's like Moscow, Psych Prog to like South Korean traditional music, but all with kind of like a twist, you know.
Yes.
So people should check it out, music from around the world. And then there's We Are Busybodies in Canada that are doing our North American side of things, you know. Of
distribution.
Manufacturing, distribution, PR in North America. And they're amazing. I mean, they just reissued Winston Mankunku, Yakhali Nkomo.
Oh wow!
They're doing The Drive. They're doing Heshu Beshu. You know,
amazing,
and they're doing us. You know, so it's not just like these reissues, long lost thing. They're also looking at like what's there now that needs some attention. You know, so those are the record labels. Permanent Record in South Africa, or just us. You can just hit us up because we're doing most of that. And then Glitterbeat and We Are Busybodies. And then it's on all streaming platforms.
Yeah. Yes, but it is available also on vinyl and on CD.
Vinyl is the way to go. Hit up Bandcamp if you're confused. Just go to Bandcamp.
I'm a great supporter of Bandcamp.
Yeah.
But even just what you said then is amazing. I mean, there's not many musicians or bands right now, the way things are, that can say, that's our contact in the States, that's our contact in Europe, that's our contact in Africa. Mm-hmm. Well done, guys.
Thank you, Nikki.
You know, people don't realize that level of accessibility doesn't come with no effort.
I mean, we joined the band to play guitars. You know, you end up sending a lot of emails. You know, different type of keyboard.
But thank you both so much. Yes, Molefi.
I was saying about this last song, just for your listeners, they should know what this song is about. You know?
Please.
This song is about migration. Yeah. Misplacement of people.
You're talking about
Harare.
Yes.
Misplacement of like people displaced because of many reasons, political, economical. You know what the situation that we're in.
Yes.
Yeah. And in COVID times, Mulef is right. In COVID times, it's important to say that as well, especially with everything that's been going on. Yeah, politically. And people can check out the music video on YouTube for Harare.
Yes.
We did it. We worked with Nandipam Dambo, who's on the cover of the album. Fantastic, fine artist, a South African, a treasure, amazing woman. And
beautiful cover.
I think people should check out the video.
Absolutely. And again, Molefe, I think that comes back to what you spoke about earlier, about why are we fighting? Why is there conflict over things that are not even important? And we're dealing in this world with a huge issue. It is a global issue about migrants, really, you know. And again, where were those boundaries created now and why? And thank you for this great work. We've got to end with another track. This one is just too beautiful. Maiga Mali Mansa
Musa.
Featuring
none other than the incredible Mr. Vio Fakature and
Vio Fakature, the son of the legend.
Yes.
Ali Fakature.
And the vocals as well, like his whole band kind of played the calabashes and stuff. And then there's the vocalist who sang some of the lead vocals, a guy called Ali Magasa. May his soul rest in peace. Just wanted to give a shout out. He passed away not not that long ago. Ali Magasa,
yeah.
And he basically leads in this song, and he's never really done that. He's been great support in Ali Fakature's band, in Via Fakature's band. He's been like band leader and all of this, multi-instrumentalist. And then in this song, just as he's passed, it's like, here he is leading. And Vio was like, you know, he loves that and we love that. And it's a beautiful thing, yeah.
Vio was like, I'm not going to sing, man. You take the lead. This one.
We don't know why. Maybe this is why, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
But again, I love your Fakature, but I'm also using it to make note of just one of the amazing, another one of the amazing collaborations that you've done as Black Jacks.
For sure.
Actually, there's a question I have to ask you. I keep coming to it in my mind and not getting around. We're going to go right back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. The name? Black Jacks?
I mean, Black Jacks is basically like Amahlabi Hlabi, you know.
Black Jacks?
Yeah,
yes.
Scientific name, Bidens Famosa. But, you know, you walk through the bushes and they stick to your pants, you know, the thorns. And we almost, and they were like, they're kind of like signs that you've been through the bush or you've been, you've been crossing through weird paths. So in the short story is basically that we are those things, you know, those, the sign that you have walked through, you know, different paths, lesser taken paths, you know, so yeah.
And also what I like about it, you know, they have this beautiful dandelion thing on a black jack. So it's this very soft, almost, I call them angel wings. You know,
and then at the
same time, you've got these little things that stay on your clothes, and you can't get rid of them. They'll be with you till tomorrow morning.
For sure, Nikki.
In the black jack context, we are those things, but just in your mind.
Yes,
on your pen.
Yes, we can't. Yes, you stuck with me.
Indeed. We hear. Oh, and just before I forget, the song also features Money Mark, basically a legend. Worked a lot with the Beastie Boys, and we were fortunate enough to have him come in and do some strange things in the song.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for a beautiful album. You've got to get your own copy. There's all different ways you can do it. If you've got any questions, you can always send me a message and I'll pass it on. Yes, thanks for being with me. Pumi,
Molefi. And thank you to everybody listening.
Yes, can't wait till we can see Black Jacks perform alive again. But I'm finishing this feature with Maiga Mali Mansa Musa featuring Vio Fakature, the VFT band, and Money Mark, the album Ubuntu Before Humans.
The World Show with Nikki B on Kaya 959.